hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh shrub.
Welcome to episode 93 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, I'm apparently not doing as well as you because I see your head is about 5 pounds lighter. Folks, what you don't see...
I was going to wait till the farm news, Dad. Dang.
We'll cover that in a minute, y'all. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap... Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Hickory Ridge Soap... From twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, y'all, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Don't forget, y'all, they have got some ballin' stuff out there. There's seeds, 100% germination right here on this farm. And, wow, they got entire kits out there. I mean, look at the world we're at, right, y'all? Look, everybody we have right now, and there's no shortage of people wanting to advertise on this show, but right now, we're being very selective, and the people that are going to help enhance your preparedness, those are the ones we partner with. All right, y'all, check us out on the Fountain app, where you can tip a pimp. And by the way, PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion, for all the people that are thinking about tuning out right now. Yeah, you can check out all your podcasts over there. You can triple up the speed, and like I said, you can tip a pimp if you so desire. Speaking of tip of the day. Talk to everybody. What do I mean by that? I'm talking everybody. It's what they is that how they say it these days, son?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
That's how they say it. That's how I heard it said. All right, y'all, I don't get out much, but when I do, I talk to everybody. Here's why I'm pointing this out, y'all. I can't even begin to tell you just over the last really 3 or 4 days, just by having conversations you run into even randomly. I'll give you a couple of brief examples. The other day, there's this ice cream place in town, and I had already kind of had something of a relationship with these folks because I was probably their best customer. And, you know, and they know that I love that fig ice cream they make.
Yeah, the goat cheese and fig.
Oh, my goodness. And the thing is, they only make this stuff. It's called Meadow Sweet Creamery, and it's in Mars Hill, North Carolina. You can find it. They got it, you know, in other places around here. They are absolute nuts over ice cream. They just got back from where was it? Spain. They went over there, you know, checking out how they do things over there. But honestly, they cut no corners. They use the quality ingredients, which almost drives me crazy right now because if they can't find it, they won't make it.
Well, yeah, you picked up some ice cream for me and Emily as well. And one of them was the cookies and cream. And before opening it, I was thinking, all right, cookies and cream. Like, because every time you get cookies and cream, it's a bunch of like microscopic pieces of cookie. And the cream is the ice cream.
Right.
That's all it is. But these people made like ice cream, like homemade Oreos. Left the chunks big and then mixed that into the ice cream.
That's exactly
it was off the hook.
And like the ice cream sandwiches. I mean, each sandwich has a different cookie on the outside of it. Yeah. I mean, they really do care and they put all kinds of work in it. But I went in this time and I was hoping, even though I knew it was a long shot, I was thinking, okay, man, I'm doing the 75 hard. I can't have any sugar, can't have any gluten. Maybe they got something I can work with. And they didn't. But while I was there, I was like, okay, Emily, I'll go ahead and get her hooked up. And William, I'll get them hooked up. I know Michelle and Kendra can't have it. So I'm already here. Let me get them ice cream. And as I'm talking to her, you know, she, one of the owners there, I can't remember her name, but her husband's name is Michael. And we're basically talking about, man, I like they're having a hard time sourcing good ingredients. And right now it's kicking off strawberry season.
Yeah, it is.
And they're like, man, we can't even find seconds of strawberries. I'm like, what? I got strawberries coming out of my eyeballs right now, or at least about to. I mean, they're just kicking off right now.
Yeah.
They're June bearing, but good night. We got more than we could possibly hope to use. And they're like, look, we'll take every strawberry you can provide. And I'm like, okay, you be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
So right there. And then also I'm like, well, is there any way you can make me some gluten-free and sugar-free ice cream? And they're like, yeah, we could, but we can't get our hands on any honey. And I'm like, okay, I got that too. Yeah, I got a 5-gallon bucket over here with honey in it. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll bring you some honey and I'll bring you some strawberries. And this is just through casual conversation, things that I would not have done 10 years ago. Another example, I'm walking out of Whole Foods and I know it's Whole Foods, but there's a couple of things there that I can't find anywhere else. And I'm not going to settle with the junk that you can only find on. I mean, certain things like these little cheese puffs. You can't find them nowhere, man.
I thought you were going to talk about supplements or something like that, and you're talking about cheese puffs.
Well, I was actually in there. I was in there to get some supplements, actually, EDTA, and I'll explain. Hopefully, I'll remember to explain a little while ago. I was there to get EDTA and glutathione, and I'm thinking, okay, well, those cheese puffs that you ate all of that
I didn't eat any cheese puffs.
Man, I got a swallow out of that bag.
That I didn't eat any.
They're gluten-free, and they're all natural, and they taste light years better than those cheese puffs. What do you call those? Cheetos. They taste light years better than that. No junk in them. And I'm in there walking. I'm getting in the truck and I see this old boy get out and he's wearing a green shirt. And in the back of his truck, he has all these compost things in the back.
Yeah.
I went up to him. He's on the phone. I didn't care. I went right up to him. I just put my hand up because I got the Eric Sider shirt on that says always be composting. He's got a compost shirt on. Next thing you know, me and him are sitting there talking. He's still on the phone and he's on there with his dad. And I'm like, hey, I'll just wait till you get off the phone, bro. There's no way I'm gonna let you pass by without talking to you.
Yeah.
So anyway, talk to him. And then he called me up or sent a text. And then I talked to him today. Look, y'all, this may be the beginning of a really interesting relationship and a partnership. Yeah, I probably ought to define that in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, partnership that's, you know, business related.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, you might even want to define that in Nashville.
Yeah. But this guy, he's basically in the compost world and he does very specific things. Well, we also do very specific things. And I'm telling you folks, talk to everybody. It's also an exercise for me. Andy Frisella talks about it.
Yeah.
Where you should really go up and talk to random people.
Well, it's the next step. It's either part two or part three in the 75 hard, the 75 life thing.
Yeah.
You have to go up and talk to a random person every day, which when I get to that part, I don't know how. I'm going to have to go specifically on a trip to town every day to go talk to somebody.
Well, yeah, you may have to do that, but I mean, there's other ways you can bundle some of these things, these trips that we make anyway. But I've been making myself really over the last 5 years, make myself, if I see anybody that looks like they're interesting, or, you know, it could be some old lady pushing her groceries through the parking lot. And I'm like, ma'am, let me get that for you. You know?
Yeah.
And then you just learn one little thing about these people. I'm not saying it to get you, because you may get some great business opportunity. Yeah, those things happen and they're wonderful, but that's really not the exercise there. It's so we don't lose our freaking humanity, y'all. I mean that. I will talk to anybody these days, and it kind of drives Michelle and William crazy sometimes, because I will. I will ask them about themselves and find out, you know, okay, what is there about this person? I'm trying not to lose my humanity in all this. Where most people are sitting here looking at their phones, it's easy to do. So, tip of the day, talk to everybody. It wasn't that I wasn't comfortable talking to people ever. It was like I'm so busy and so focused on what it is I'm doing, so goal-oriented on that day, that I would just let who knows how many wonderful people walk by, or to find out that they were maybe somebody you don't want to know. But you'll never know unless you reach out there and find out. So tip of the day, it's a little long. Yeah. Talk to everybody. All right. Farm news, son. You want to tell them what's happening with your head right now?
I got a haircut. I no longer have long hair.
What'd you do with that?
Well, the hair is donated. Well, it's in the process of being donated. So the haircut would have taken like a total of 15 seconds had I not said I wanted to donate it. Wigs for Kids or something like that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The lady went in to explain why it's Wigs for Kids instead of somebody else. These people don't make the kids buy the wigs. Apparently other companies do, which is messed up.
Wow.
Yeah. But, I donated it. So they had to wash the hair, straighten it all, then braid it, and then cut it off in sections. And now it's knotted up or it's like tied up in a Ziploc bag and I have to mail it off. Huh. I didn't know it involved all this. I just wanted a haircut mostly. Well, and then donated the hair. So
it looks good, son. I mean, I wish more kids wear their hair more natural, like Dr. Martin Luther King used to do. You never saw him walk around with no messy Jerry curl.
That.
Or all the
it was messy. It wasn't a Jerry curl, though.
All right. Well, you also have other news. How'd you do in your tournament?
Oh, yeah. I had a submission-only jiu-jitsu tournament this past Saturday, and I got first.
Good. So okay. You're first all the way around, huh?
Yep.
Everyone you competed in. All right. Well, yep. It looks like you're going to be kicking up some other ranks, and I'm sure you'll do well, son.
Hey, there's another tournament coming up at Warren Wilson in June.
Oh, man. So it means you're going to be wrestling girls.
So, which, if y'all don't know, for those of you that aren't like in North Carolina, you don't know Warren Wilson, that's like the blue-haired Marchie headquarters.
Yeah.
It's going to be the funkiest jiu-jitsu match I've ever had.
I guarantee it, dude. Those people are going to be smelling like 30 miles of swamp. I guarantee that. All right. So, other farm news. I've been making compost. Going great. I didn't expect the response on Patreon that we did. I mean, apparently, overwhelmingly, everybody wants to see this step by step. And that's exactly what I'm going to do over there on Patreon. It's going to be too cerebral for YouTube, y'all. It's not, hey, you're trying to make money or anything like that. And I don't apologize if I am making money, but that's really not the purpose. It's going to be very cerebral, very to the point. And because so many people support us on Patreon, man, I just feel like this is something I really need to do, especially in these times.
Well, YouTube, there's a lot of people who watch YouTube for the entertainment aspect, like the education and the entertainment aspect. The people on Patreon are there for the education solely, and so much so that they pay for it.
Right.
And I mean, you can do like as little as $1 a month.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to break bread, I won't fake dead, as one ghetto philosopher once said. But no, the point of it being is that I'm going to make this. I'm not trying to make it cerebral. It's just step by step by step. And if anybody goes through it and then they have questions, honestly, it is so much easier to pinpoint responses on Patreon for the people that give it a shot. But y'all, I'm telling you, this new method, it takes good night, man. I didn't know that it could go this easy and easy to correct when you get things wrong. We were already making really good compost. Now there is a quantifiable, easy way to do this. And I think you're going to be shocked. So if you want to check us out on Patreon, that's where we're going to be doing that.
And you're going to do that after you get back from Greg Judy's, right?
Yeah, so okay. When I get back from Greg Judy's place, we're actually going to start that then. I don't want to start off and then leave it halfway. I get going, I want to make sure that I can keep going. And like I said, every step of the way, anybody has any questions, that's where I'm going to address it. Because really, y'all, we're going to talk more about it, especially in this topic today. But look, things are getting stupid and you got to get prepared in so many different ways. All right, farm news. Yeah, food forest is blowing up. This thing is really starting to get as fungal dominant as we like. And we're going to cover more of that too when we work on our compost. But this thing, our blueberries were struggling off the bat. And now it's like, oh, well, thank you very much. Now the fungus is really doing its work. It's kicking in, and the blueberries have got sets on them that'll blow your mind.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know blueberry bushes that small could produce
good
night. That many blueberries.
No, I mean, it is unbelievable. And I'm hearing birds like never before.
Yeah. Well, when Ginger isn't killing them.
Yeah. Yeah. That thuggy, son. Her nickname is Thugnificent.
That nickname
Agamemnon
is killer.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a killer. And she's about to go out there and work on some rats that seem to be outside. But yeah, the food forest is blowing up. And I mean it, y'all. It is absolutely kicking. So hang in there, because you'll find out when you do these things that you hit a demarcation point where for some reason that all of a sudden things just start gelling. When you put those things in, it may take a year or two for it to actually kick off. But once that fungus gets in the gear, good night, y'all. It's off to the races and things just start blowing. It almost feels bad walking through the food forest because you can't walk without stepping on food.
Yeah, you know you're stepping on something when you walk through that food forest, mostly strawberries right now.
And the bees are loving it. And speaking of which, we got three swarms so far this year. and it's off and running. So other farm news, I actually took a few moments on Saturday and watched this documentary. It's called Trance, the Trance movie. And I wish I had a link for it that I could put in here. It's basically the true story of a lady who was an MKUltra survivor. And folks, it's tough to watch, especially some of the visual stuff in the beginning. But I want to let you know that's what I did. I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched anything.
What's it called again?
Trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, Trance movie or Trance documentary, if you put that in. You're
Is
basically
it on YouTube?
No, you got to pay for it. It's okay. You can rent it or you can buy it. When I heard this lady in an interview, I've heard her before. I can't even think of her name right now. Kathy O'Brien, that's her name. And good night, y'all. She wrote a book called Transformation of America. I've known about her for some time. And man, she's really, I think she's legit. I really do. And some of the people she implicates in this thing, I'm not at all shocked. And it'll floor you. So it's tough to watch. But I also wanted to point that out. Folks, you have got to keep an eye on your kids these days. These folks are just becoming so brazen.
Especially if they go to public school.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And because you don't even know what the other kids are being taught. I mean, do everything you possibly can. Some of you folks, I know you're struggling. You're a single parent. You're doing all you can. But if there is any way for you to get your kid into something else, home, school, co-op, or whatever is available out there, I got to believe through COVID that a lot of opportunities have actually risen.
Well,
so I'm
yeah.
going to encourage you. And look, kids are our passion around here, y'all. We do a lot for kids and retired folks, and that's our passion, is to look after these folks. And you got to do it. You got to watch them. You got to stay alert. You got to stay alive, especially those kids. All right, y'all, another little thing, and I think you may have watched it too. I didn't actually watch it, but I listened to it.
I didn't watch it. I listened to it.
Yeah, you can listen to it. It's Watch the Water Part 2. Folks, I would highly recommend everybody out there to go check that out. It's called Watch the Water, and it's Part 2. They came out with a Part 1, and he's addressing some of the criticisms, and he's also coming down on a ton of bricks of some of these doctors that refuse to even look at this information.
And this supports what he says, supports my theory of the bad guys trying to beat us on this fourth turning.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to like pre-install the next set of people to indoctrinate everybody. But like giving them like, go ahead and tell this partial truth right yeah. now, get everybody's trust, and then we'll get you installed in all the new official platforms. And then we'll just recontrol everybody.
Well, that's what the CIA called a limited hangout. And there's a lot of examples of that. Webster Griffin Tarpley made some pretty unimpeachable cases about, before we get into Pastor Lon here, son, I wanted to point this out. Webster Griffin Tarpley and a number of others have pointed out all these people who were supposed whistleblowers and all this other thing. And then his section was, how come all these whistleblowers have nothing to say concerning 9/11?
Yeah.
You're dropping all these people going about Edward Snowden. Well, what about J. Kirk Wiebe? What about William Binney? He was like number two at the NSA. Dropped way more information than anything that came out from Snowden, but Snowden's the only one you ever heard of. These other people that were far up the chain, there was at least three of them that I know of. And, you got to be careful about some of these doctors and some of these other people that are limited hangouts that might be. That's what the CIA calls a limited hangout. They basically drop a fair amount of truth,
yep.
but they shift the narrative into a way that favors them. So be really cautious, but check out that latest one. Watch the water. Maybe let us think about it or let us know what you think about it. All right, y'all, with that, we're going to go into my pastor, the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon himself.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for us today. It's in Luke chapter 16, verse 13. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, God must be number one in our lives. He will not allow us to worship or put anything else before him as his children. This includes money, earthly possessions, even family and friends, or anything else that we trust in or rely on instead of him. You see, anything we put before God is considered idol worship. And we know that the sin of idolatry except it be repented of, will cause a person to spend eternity in the pits of eternal hell.
Well, I don't think he was...
He didn't mince words.
Yeah, and that's one thing I love. I mean, one of many things I love about Pastor Lon is I always enjoy seeing him in person, talking on the phone, whatever the case may be, because I can't stand a mealy-mouthed person. I don't like people that, you know, like a lot of these, okay, talking about doctors and talking about some of these pastors where you ask them a direct question and then they hem-haw around about the answer. Let your yays be yays and your nays be nays. I love the fact, and this is why we're such good friends, is that when he says something, there's no question as to, well, what did he really mean here? I'm never wondering that.
If he makes a statement, you know exactly what the statement was. There's no questioning.
You listen to these TV preachers and all these others, you hear them in an interview, whether it's with Oprah or some of these others, and they sit here and hem-haw around about, well, you might be, no.
Pastor Lon starts with, the Bible says.
The Bible says, that's right. And that's look, y'all, and if you're just tuning in and you're wondering if you're some little purple-haired Marchy out there, and you're wondering like, oh, these guys are, yeah, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a Christian, American, heterosexual, pro-gun, liberty-minded, permaculture designer, and I know it's driving some of you fools crazy out there.
Also known as a pimp.
Bam. PIMP, P-I-M-P, stands for Permaculture Is My Passion. But you can see it some other, and look, some of you Marchies, when y'all get stupid, don't think for a minute. Look, I adhere to the non-aggression principle. That does not mean non-violent. So if you get up in my face and you do some of this nonsense that some of you have done before, don't be shocked if I elevate this pimp hand and psh, unleash. It has been known to happen.
I'll see you June 17th.
That's right. So, hey, we got the bail money put back. So
no, I mean, it should be good. This is sanctioned.
Okay. Yeah, it is sanctioned battles. But, hey, speaking of Pastor Lon, he sent me this video that he did the other day, y'all. And I would also recommend y'all check this out, too. I can't believe it only had 360 views. He says, when the unexpected happens, he was checking out a Dollar General. I didn't get a chance because he sent it like not long before we were about to broadcast here. He was in Dollar General checking out. And then there's a lady, you know, he's checking out. And this is the one time he wasn't armed. And he's in there. He's just in there to grab a couple of things, just like I've been known to do. He's got a couple of can of Beanie Weenies or whatever he's after. And some clown at the desk, you know, goes on about how he's a Satanist, and he stops at the door, looked like he was going to throw down, and Pastor Lon, all he had was a couple of cans of, you know, whatever them cans were, SpaghettiOs, whatever the case was. I mean, I'm sure he'd have went upside his head if that things got stupid, but y'all, you have got to stay. I'm not criticizing. I'm saying I sat here and talked about this. I don't know if it was on a podcast or whatever the case was the other day where I'm in a rush to just get in there, get what I'm after, and then it's like the one time.
Yeah.
You're not ready. It's like the enemy knows you ain't ready. And then that's when they come out blasting. Like, you know, just like Woodrow tells Newt in, what was that movie?
I have no idea.
Yeah, of course you don't, because it's my favorite movie. It's my favorite of all times. Pastor Lon's too, man. It's, doggone it. Tombstone. Man.
I don't know,
man. It's got Woodrow Gus. I can't believe I can't think of it right
Lonesome
now.
Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove.
I've never even seen the show, Dad.
Yeah, you got to see. I can't even believe you're admitting that on air. Greatest cowboy movie of all time. Most complex character of all time is Augustus McCrae, by the way.
Hey, Dad, we got to get into good news, bad
news.
Yeah,
but I got to say this, man. He's handing Newt, they're about to go rob some horses. And he tells him, he throws up a gun to him. He says, look, it's better to have that and not need it than it is to need it and not have it. And folks, I'm going to encourage everybody out there, you know, an armed society is a polite society. I ain't saying throw down on somebody because they didn't tip you right when you were, you know, when they were checking out. But honestly,
unless it's Mother's Day. Well,
there you go. But honestly, at the end of the day, don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. So here we go. Bad news, good news section. So check this one out. Top 7 ways the Biden regime and big corporations are crippling family-owned farms in America. All right, so number 1, dismantling and destroying the supply chain. Number 2, beginning to make mRNA vaccines mandatory for farm animals. Number 3, poisoning the animal feed with toxins and infertility chemicals. Yeah, they're doing that in humans too. Number four, cost of transportation skyrocketing with fuel prices, trucking company interruptions, you name it. Number five, inflation is hurting family businesses more than corporations. Number six, pollution of the land and rivers and dioxins. Yeah, do I even need to go on about that one? Hospital waste, biosludge, you name it. Number seven, push for lab-concocted GMO test tube meat and zombie eggs. And, of course, all courtesy of Bill Gates of Hell.
Yeah, you know what I notice about that? It's not just towards, like, small farms or anything like that. It's just towards humans.
Yes.
All of that applies to humans, what they're trying to do to humans.
Right, but the trucking and the shipping and all that stuff is really, and still, you know, so many farms are dependent on the Haber-Bosch process for their nitrogen-based fertilizers, which you don't need, by the way, folks, and we're going to be talking way more. There's going to be some angry people out there when they hear, I don't know why they'd be angry, but, I mean, angry chemical companies.
Because it's something new. I mean, because a lot of people have figured out, like, oh, I can just put out this granulated fertilizer each year, and then my garden grows just fine.
We haven't used it for years, and I mean years.
I don't know that we have personally ever used chemical fertilizers.
No.
Even mom didn't whenever I was a little kid.
Back in the day, she might have used fish emulsion or something like that.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, but, I mean, all these salts, basically, we've never used them. So how are we growing food? Compost, y'all. Compost, building soil. And we're going to talk more about that because guess what? You don't need to go out there and buy anything for this stuff. You just need good management. You need good techniques. And we're going to start teaching a lot more of that. And we're not looking to profit on this, y'all. We are trying to train everybody we possibly can. All right, so some of the good news. New York Governor Hochul, whatever her name is, announces emergency order to deal with surge of illegals. Well, how about that?
You could just stop at Ho, Dad.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Well, I know the governor of Texas was putting them on the first thing, smoking, heading up to New York and all these other places, which I hope he keeps doing. Actually, I wish that polecat governor go ahead and put his National Guard on the border.
Send him up to D.C.
Yeah, I'd drop them all up. No, man.
They're going back. They're going to be like, man, Guatemala was better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Drop them off to some of these blue cities. They're going to be like, hey, Holmes, send me on the first thing smoking, man. Yeah, that's what
they're
I'm talking
about. Migrate back.
Yeah. Yeah. So other good news. I'm going to chalk that one up to good news. Oh, this one here, a natural news study. Supplementing with vitamin D helps prevent cancer, especially if taken more frequently. Every single day. Sun or shine, probably for going on. I mean, in the course of a day, I hate doing it around certain people. I remember Ben and Meg Holler were like, dude, why are you so worried about that? They're not thinking, who takes drugs and put them in a vitamin dispenser? And I'm like, well, it freaks people out because they think I'm taking prescription medication.
Dad has this vitamin dispenser and one of those 7-day vitamin dispensers. Well, that's for a day for him. It has vitamins in it. And Dad will pop it open and then toss them in his mouth and then swallow them in front of people and then say, there's nothing wrong. These are just vitamins.
Yeah. And people, I remember the first time I ever did that, I didn't tell him who it was. I was around my buddy Dutch and he's like, dude, I thought I took medication. I'm like, oh no. And then it happened again and again. Yeah. And I'm like, so I always preface it, but vitamin D, I was taking some of Dr. Mercola's, liposomal vitamin D. Now I take the, D3K2 from Dr. Ted Brewer and you can get some of that over at Health Masters. I take it every single day and I take way more than the recommended daily allowance. And I've been doing that for maybe 2 years now. I've been taking that.
Yeah,
pretty consistently. You know, it may be rain, it may be shine. I didn't know about all these other benefits, but also regarding this whole COVID pestilence, apparently it was very helpful regarding all that too.
Yeah.
So when we got it, I mean, your mom, she's really bad about taking vitamins. I don't know what it is with all the women in this house. They just don't want to take vitamins half the time. And I understand. I mean, who wants to swallow horse pills all day? I'll do it. But in her case, when we both got COVID, your mom's in great shape, and I bounced right back, and I attributed a lot of it to just having that regimen of vitamins. All right, y'all, when we get back to it, it is going straight into the topic. I'm a rebel like here, though a helix intervenes with Jesus. I'm a chimera, looking at these gold years flying by fair force. They're cutting it off of the food to win.
you. War is a pending assess on your son too. They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. You sitting that man a cotta, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. They become a cause, they got me out of
body. Alrighty, welcome back, y'all. I want to give a shout out to Van Tesla. Also,
Joel Thomas.
Bam. Over there, he's got Kill the Mockingbirds podcast, but also makes a lot of really good, awesome patriot kind of music, and you hear a lot of it on here. All right, y'all, before we get back into it, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, and can you think of a more adequate time to have one than right now? Like I said, for the ones on the vehicles, look, I'm not trying to go hit the club. All I need to do if something jumps off is get back to the crib. And also, right there on your house, number one threat is lightning. Now, you get an EMP surge down the line, it's going to protect, it's going to shunt out all to ground. But your biggest concern is lightning, and it is my chief lightning protector. So if something jumps off in terms of lightning and it blows that thing right off the wall, or worse yet, it goes downstream and fries some of your stuff in the house, guess what? You're covered up to 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield. That's why they are a sponsor of the show. So go check them out, y'all. Okay, so we're going to get right into the topic. And that being, I want to cover, we kind of did it on YouTube, but I always love to cover some of these things in the podcast format because we can go into much greater detail. We don't have to worry about editing. Things are raw, uncut. We don't edit anything on this podcast. And so it's just the way it is. And we like it that way because it's just raw. I mean, you're seeing the real us. We talked recently, well, a video back, we were talking about.
We've done two videos so far.
Two videos, yep. And we're going to do a number three. And we're going to cover basically all of that right now.
You guys are getting a sneak peek, I guess.
Bam. All of it. Yeah, so we're basically doing this series of all the things. And there's a long list if you choose to look at it. I mean, I'm sure Bobby Spags can bust out a whole gang of them. But we were talking about the things that are preparedness items that nobody ever talks about. Everybody talks about storable food. Yeah, that's important to have. Water, okay, that's self-evident. Clean air, clearly. You know you're going to need all those things. But nobody, very few people ever, just like one of my biggest criticisms in the preparedness realm has always been the fact that nobody talks about fat.
Yeah.
And the need to put back shelf-stable fat. Nobody for years ever talked about that. We started talking about it, and I'm like, why is nobody discussing this?
Everybody seemed to be worried about carbs.
Carbs. Oh, I remember there was one guy, man, I got enough alcohol put back, I can barter. I'm like, well, do you have any vitamins put back? Do you have any vitamin C? I mean, do you have anything that, you know,
yeah,
things jump off, you know, scurvy.
Anything useful?
Yeah. I mean, okay, so you got a bunch of booze. Yeah, you can trade, but dude, do you have some of the basic things? There are guys I know that have ammo put back because they absolutely, or I knew, they're not friends of mine, not anymore. They're like, well, I'll just go out, I'll hunt, or I'll go take it from somebody else. If that's your idea of preparedness, then you're gonna die by that sword too, okay? You think you're going to go out there and create mayhem because you went out there at a couple of shooting competitions. Well, guess what? You know, there's a lot of people that are going to have your number and they're going to be waiting on you. So those other things like compost, we've talked about in the past.
Well, real quick on that, I don't think they're thinking about the numbers aspect as well. Like, what's the ratio between like defending a house versus invading a house?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Back in the day, when you're in an urban terrain or in a country terrain, I think I could be totally wrong on this. I used to know all this stuff back in the day in the Army. I want to say the ratio might have been, I don't know, 10 to 1. And then when you go to an urban environment, then it's like 50 to 1 that you need to overtake whoever you're after.
And you ain't John Wick, so you're not about to go invade a small city.
I hated that movie, by the way, for a whole variety of reasons. But, I mean, if you think you're just going to roll up on somebody's house and they ain't waiting for you, you got some problems, nephew. So right off the bat, those things, the compost, we've talked about, and I know some folks are probably saying, why are you going on about compost? It is getting real. I could sit here and do an entire show on all of the awful news. Many of you already know about it, so it doesn't make any sense talking about it. But at the same time, while Rome burns, technically, I mean, you know, Rome didn't officially, I mean, I guess Rome officially fell when the Visigoths kicked in the front doors, but it was falling for 100 years before then. We're doing what it took Rome 2,000 years to do, we are doing in 200, okay? And there's a reason why there was a whole gang of people in Rome when the Visigoths came and kicked in the doors, eventually let them in. When all that happened, the aristocracy got on the first thing smoking over to Constantinople, and they're like, have a nice day, plebs.
Yeah.
Well, the same sort of thing is unfolding right now. You don't see it as, it's not as obvious, but it's happening. These things are falling apart, and you have got to think about those things that nobody's talking about in terms of putting food on your plate. And it all starts with the soil and compost in particular.
Well, yeah.
Now, the methods we talked about before, okay, you have the slow method where you can basically take everything, put it out in the woods, put it in the yard, leave it for a year, it'll break down. Okay, that's wonderful. And then you top dress your gardens, your vegetable
trees,
beds.
Orchard.
Yeah, depending on how much you're going to get. Now, there's other methods out there. We've talked about them before. The Berkeley method, you can do it in 18 days. Okay. There's a chicken tractor on steroids. That basically unfolds in 30 days. You have this other method that we're working on with Dr. Ingham. And it's, you know, when it's all said and done, I guess it's closer to about 30 days.
Yeah.
But you're able to quantify this stuff. I'm able to look at it under a microscope and find out, okay, does it have the soil food web that it needs? Because that's really the power in compost. There's a lot of municipalities out there selling this stuff. They're calling it compost, but it's not.
Yeah. It's what is it?
I mean, it's sludge material. Like Mike Adams did that documentary I asked everybody to check out. It's called Biosludged. You can get it for free. And this is where they're selling this stuff. A lot of these people, I remember Sean the Modern Yeoman. I talked about it before. Where he got this stuff brought out, it looked great, but not anything in it.
Most people look at compost and see that it's black and then just automatically think, oh, that's good stuff.
And it's not supposed to be black. It's supposed to be a coffee color. It's supposed to be a dark brown. It's not supposed to be black. It's supposed to be a dark, rich brown. There's other things that you can do with it, like you put it in a coffee strainer. Okay, do you see humic acid coming off of it? Okay, that's a good sign. If you can't do that, not wonderful. But that compost, y'all, in terms of your preparedness, I'm asking everybody in the sound of my voice, learn to do it. If you don't learn it from us, learn it from somebody else, but get it down because it eliminates your need once you put it in there. And then you learn how to make compost extracts, which you're going to do soil drenches with, or compost tea, which you're going to spray on your foliage. When you learn how to do all that stuff and you get this micro, when you get this soil food web in the soil in the proper proportions, and as long as you don't use chemicals, you never have to reapply it. Once you get it off and running, once you get the web in there, it's there. Okay? It's why we're begging everybody, learn how to do this compost, make it good, because that's part of what we see going on with the food forest, is that we've taken another, we didn't use the compost, we didn't use, well, we did use compost we made.
Yeah.
We also used deep bedding in terms of wood chips and stuff like that.
And cardboard.
And manure.
Yeah.
You know, we've used a lot of that down there too. And the animals, we've taken this very nasty, awful soil and have turned it into something that is honestly really an envy. It's really fantastic. But here's the beauty. Now, we're going to jump we'll get to the grass in a minute. But regarding the trees and stuff you have, this is where the compost, one thing leads into the other. Like I was talking about the trees and then the grass, and now we're going to talk about trees. That'll be the last edition of it, and we'll go into greater detail. But these are the things that people aren't really talking about. So in terms of your preparedness, let's say you live in a city lot. Let's say you can only get 2, maybe 3, maybe 5 fruit trees at the most. Well, do you know somebody down the street? Would they be willing to let you plant? Even buy and plant the tree and look after it?
Usually they would have to pay for that.
Yes. Maybe you could have an entire orchard going up and down the block. If you were to do all the work and look after it, I mean, provided they're not people that are going to go out there and put the weed and feed and all that garbage on the lawn.
Yeah.
If they're doing that, then deal's off. But think about it. Let's say you can only get a few trees on your place. Do you have neighbors that would be willing to partner? Okay, maybe your crop doesn't come in, but theirs does. Maybe everything doesn't work out well for them and they can hit you up. Or maybe they have a different cultivar of apple than you have. Maybe yours comes out in, you know, 2 weeks earlier than theirs.
Yeah.
And so you're able to trade and do all these things. The reason we are talking about this is because these are the things, I don't know why, it's like every Homestead and Prepper channel out there, they go on about annual food. But nobody ever talks about the stuff you can put away forever and a day, like apples.
I think people go on and on about annual food on YouTube because of the views. Because if you can go on about, like, okay, if you put out a tomato video every spring, it's going to do awesome every spring. If you put out a sweet potato video, it's going to do awesome. Because everybody is familiar with annuals. Everybody getting started gets into with annuals. And, like, the trees and stuff like that almost aren't interactive enough for people to think that they need additional help, maybe.
It takes so much work out of your hands. And then also, when you have that food forest, you could have your annual systems in there. Better still, maybe instead of growing, you know, regular yams, maybe you get those climbing yams that we talked about. You got some mature trees.
There's a bunch of perennial varieties of yams. Yeah, or tubers.
We had one guy write in a while back talk about that very thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, I mean, I thought it was a fantastic idea where you're having these yams. I even got his email saved. It was that genius of an idea.
Yeah.
Using those climbing yams that work in your area. Well, you could harvest that. And this is stuff you didn't have to work for. This bumper crop of strawberries we got out there, didn't have to put in any work on it.
Just got to harvest. That's it.
No
just
fertilizer.
And then harvest.
That is a ground cover that we eat. Do you know how rare that is for most people? So within that area, you can literally have within here. Okay, so you're getting a fruit crop.
Hold on.
A nut
crop. It's a ground cover that is still present after you eat it.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Not like you're harvesting the ground cover itself, like the actual shade producing parts itself and then taking
that
it
out.
Away.
Yeah.
Because you're just taking off the berries and then leaving the ground cover.
Yes, you're leaving it right there. And it's a habitat for so many wonderful things. It's teeming with all kinds of life. And I mean, folks, we are missing the boat when it comes to trees, shrubs, all these things that you can put in, just create the right conditions. And by and large, you can walk away for most of the year.
Yeah.
And you can come back, harvest, do the right things. I mean, obviously, we share. Somebody asked something about rabbits. You know, what do you do about the rabbits? Well, I share. The rabbits get their piece too.
The rabbits don't.
They don't even really mess with them.
Yeah, they don't mess with the majority of the strawberries down there. They just kind of get the stuff that's like around the edges, the stuff that's kind of been attacked by bugs maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't really have much. We have plenty of rabbits.
Yeah, we got
rabbits.
I don't
know what they're eating.
Yeah.
Well, besides mom's seedlings in the high tunnel.
Well, these rabbits are absolutely all over the place, but also the bone sauce. I think that does a pretty big deterrent on them too, because.
And you notice that they're only eating the seedlings that are in the trays, not on the beds that were painted with bone sauce.
It's exactly right. Everything with bone sauce, they're not even fooling with.
Yeah.
So it's in those. Yeah, maybe we need to put some around those tray seedlings. But the point being is, folks, you have all these wonderful options out there where you can be growing some serious food. And then let's also talk about your animal systems. Now, this is the part two edition that we talked about. Look, if you're out there spraying a bunch of junk on your grass and you're feeding your animals, you got a system that it's a never ending loop. You're going to constantly need inputs. But what if I were to submit to you that if you were to make really, really, really good compost, and let's say you got grass, you got weeds, you got all these other things, you can go out there with a compost extract, put it on the ground. Let's say that ground's as hard as woodpecker lips. Well, you go out there maybe with a broad fork, work it over, get that stuff down in the soil, and then you put an extract with all this beneficial life that's now in that soil. It now transforms your soil. Then you take also that same compost that's great. You make a compost tea, a foliar spray. Now that same stuff, because when you make a compost tea, it makes basically these bacteria and fungi create glues when you make a tea.
Yeah.
As soon as they impact those leaves, this glue, they stick to the surface. And now they're protecting the above ground and the below ground. Now, let's say you got a bunch of weeds out there. Weeds cannot thrive in an environment like this. Weeds are there because of A, high compaction and high bacteria. You want your fields and your, I dare say, lawns. I mean, I wouldn't want a lawn. But you want them that are 50-50 fungal bacteria in the general terms, okay? You want it that way. And if you can make it that way, it's an environment where the weeds do not thrive. It's also an environment where the animals that you're raising on that ground are now getting the beneficial. Because despite what everybody, despite what I used to think, is that all this stuff is not created by your intervention. I didn't know the full extent of it until really recently, that all these minerals, no matter where you live, whether it's the desert of the Jordan Desert or whether it's in the Alps, every single chemical you need for benefit is in that soil. It's in the sands, the clays, the silts, the pebbles, all those things. And the only way you unlock them is using the fungal and the bacteria layers to break it down from those sources. They can do it. And then you have higher species in there, the nematodes, the arthropods, that eat those things. And because the levels are so high because they eat so many bacteria, well, they excrete it. They poop it out, basically, and it's now bioavailable to your plants. So if we just do the right thing with our soil, it will now create healthy animals that don't need you to take them to the vet, that don't need worm shots, that don't need, and obviously you want some good practices like rotating the way you should. But it all comes down to these things, folks. I'm sorry to beat this dead. I'm sorry to beat this horse even more dead than it is, but it is that important, and so many people are missing the boat. Break it down to the basics. Learn how to make compost. If you can do that, if you can make that compost, and we're going to show you step by step, answer every single question you have, to where I want people sending me videos like they do saying, this is what we've done. And then once you get that down, we're going to show you, or at least try to get you conversational in how to make those extracts and teas. All right, when we get back, y'all, into the Q&A.
He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie.
You think it's going to be another woke summer, Dad?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I think it's going to be a woke summer. I think it's going to be a woke, I mean, honestly, and to quote Shakespeare, I think now is the winter of our discontent. I mean, that's how they start Richard III, and I think it's going to fit. I know a lot of people think that means different things. But in this case, with the road we're on right now, I think it's not only good. A woke summer leads to a hungry winter.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Woke summer leads to a hungry winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, oh, got one here from Tony. And basically said, I just want to share something with you. I accidentally came across. I leaned a tote up against a pole in our security light just to catch some water. To my surprise, I collected a good amount of June bugs and some other protein for the chickens. Not a bad idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Will they eat June bugs? I thought I tried feeding them one before, and they didn't really mess with it.
Yeah, I don't recall them messing with June bugs, but there's some other ones that would be down in there.
If you mush it up, I bet they eat it.
Now, they might work with it that way, but I mean, there's certain things, man. I know one thing they won't eat is bees.
Yeah, they won't.
You throw a dead beehive out there, man, they will not touch it for no amount of money.
Nope. Even whenever they're in there with the bees, they still don't mess with
them. Yeah, but I don't recall them messing with June bugs.
Got one. Well, I would try mashing them up and turning it into like a paste or something. It might be a little nasty for you, but that's an option.
Well, try the bugs first.
Got a comment from Humble Servant on the Fountain app. I looked at Dr. Ingham's website and was shocked by the costs. Definitely out of reach for me. Add the expense of a microscope and such. Oof. I'd love to be able to do this because I'm a science guy since elementary school. From what you're describing, it has some crossover with Korean natural farming. I pray that Dr. Ingham gives you the okay to explain some of it.
Yeah, it's already, there's definitely no problem with that. I wanted to make sure that I crossed all the I's crossed all the T's and dotted the I's. It is not cheap. It is very expensive. It's something you got to save for if you really want to do it. I'm going to, because there's certain parts of this I don't know how to convey. I can't teach you how to use a microscope. I mean, I'm learning myself.
Right. Yeah.
And to teach that, I mean, there's other people out there. I hear Matt Powers has done something like that. I don't know what I should say regarding all that. I'm going with Dr. Ingham. There's some Johnny come latelys to all this. And honestly, when I see a guy out here wearing a lab coat, that screams to me, appeal to authority.
Right.
When I see you wearing a lab coat for something that doesn't require a lab coat, I automatically think you're trying to sell me something.
Or a butcher's apron.
Yeah. When you don't need it. Well, butcher's apron actually does have
not if you're out there just talking on screen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's that. I know it's pricey, but it's something, honestly, this is my craft. And I know, man, this you know, not a lot of people, especially these days, to me, I just looked at it as a massive investment, not only for the benefit of my own farm, but extending what I know to everybody else out there. And yeah, it is expensive, but we'll try to convey as much as we possibly can. It's going to be hard for you to determine exactly what you need, but I know that you can get off and running to making really good compost. If you got that, the only thing you won't be able to do is check it all under a microscope, but there's certain things you can do to tell just on the face of it whether or not you have good compost.
Are there certain things you can add to it regardless, and yes, it will make it good compost?
Yeah, there are things.
Like once you get to the finished product?
Right, once you get to the finished product, let's say it didn't work out exactly. There's other things you can add to it, and we're adding right now. Like your mom's going out there pulling up some fungus out of the forest, yeah, healthy fungus. Now, there is a difference. Usually when the fungus is very, very thick, it's usually a good indication that it's probably going to be healthy.
So what I'm getting at is, like, let's say everybody is making 18-day compost. Is there like a pack that they could throw in of all these different things that every compost, like if it failed, it's going to need at least one of these things?
Well, the problem is that it's going to vary depending on where you live, because okay, the microbes, yeah, that'd be really nice if you could just say, hey, throw this packet in. You know, there's some people, and Elaine even talked about it, that you could go out and buy some of this or have them give it to you, this nasty compost that they sell, and you can transform that stuff into something worthwhile. Hmm. But you need something good to make it happen, you know? So yeah, you gotta have a source material to do that. All right. From Shannon, just ordered my order of Billy's bone sauce. I'm so excited to deter my deer. I'm looking for more information about its application and use. Okay, let me go ahead and cover that. First of all, you can put it on your trees up to browsing height. You can take it up to about 6 foot or so. Cover all the limbs. Don't hit the green stuff because it will wilt it.
Yeah. Paint it on with a paintbrush.
Yep, paint it on. That's really the application it was meant for. You said that it could be diluted as it is very concentrated. Yes, if you're going to do that, use beef tallow. We've actually had people buy this stuff, stick it in jars with water. It's oil. I mean, it's a fat base. Yeah. You can't stick this stuff in water and then dump it all over the lawn and then wonder why it didn't work, because, I mean, people have actually done that and gotten with us about it. Does it truly only need a single application for many years? In most cases, yes.
If it's applied to a wooden surface.
Yes. And also, if that tree is a very narrow diameter and it's growing, you may have to reapply after a few years because it's gaining a greater girth on it. But yeah, typically when you put it on there, it doesn't have to be reapplied for years in most cases. But deer, along with everything else, are doing some weird things as of late. So you may have to reapply more often. But yeah, generally, around here, I put it on 3 years ago. Yeah. And I ain't had to put it on again. And these are growing trees.
Just the new trees we would plant, really.
Yep. If using stakes to cordon off the planting, what spacing have you found effective for this type of use? It really wasn't applied for that. But some people have basically taken wooden stakes and mule tape and have surrounded their gardens with it. It doesn't look pretty, but, you know, it's better than having something eat it up. And then they've taken the bone sauce and applied it to the mule tape that is surrounding their gardens along with the wooden stakes.
So they're using the stakes to just hold up the mule tape that has bone sauce on
it. Well, they're using the stakes and they're painting the stakes and the mule tape. Okay. Mule tape is basically a flat tape and it's kind of fabric, you know.
Yeah. It's not sticky.
We're installing a food forest for a client at the end of the month and are brainstorming deer solutions. Thank you so much for a great product, and thank you for your help with my questions. A lot of other folks have had questions about that, so I wanted to answer it here in front of everybody. But yeah, stuff works like nobody's business. There ain't nothing else like it out there. It seems like somebody's coming up with some knockoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead and give it a shot, and then we'll see you at the checkout line.
I got one from the Lazy Gardener on the Fountain app. Love the tips for reducing inputs and closing the loop with systems. Sustainability is key, and you guys are spreading the word. Sustainability actually isn't key. Regenerative is key. And that's our goal. Sustainability just means we're breaking even every year. Regenerative is a properly working system.
Word. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're not in the, sustainable is thrown around a lot. And I know people.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, we know what you mean by it. But regeneration is really what we're after. Like we were talking a little bit ago about the food forest. You know, honestly, this thing is growing and getting better with time, and that's exactly what it ought to be. Your garden should be growing and getting better with time. All it requires is good management all the way around. Rob and Lauren was wondering what y'all charge for a home visit consultation. We really can't make time for any of that right now. Eric Sider is the one you want to reach out to. Hopefully, yep. I know he's probably swamped. He's the best, y'all. If you need a consultation, e.sider@gmail.com. Reach out to him, and you're probably going to get your, that's probably the best way to go about it.
Well, I got a perfectly timed question on the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Permaculture Pimpcast, if you're looking. And if you want to see me without any hair, go to the Permaculture Pimpcast, obviously. This is from Trash Can Bees. Trash Can Bees. Hey, guys, I've got a question that I'm hoping it can be addressed in a future Q&A. What are the homestead uses for a scientist? I've considered doing something like getting a microscope and running fecal tests for livestock and stuff, but I haven't been involved in this homesteading side of things long enough to know where there's serious need for those types of skills. Do you guys have any of those million-dollar ideas for someone with a biological science background?
Bam. We just were talking about it, nephew.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you already know how to use a microscope, now it's going to require an investment. You know, see, I guess you already have the microscope. I guess you got slides, so those wouldn't be an expense for you. But honestly, I would seriously look into checking out the soil food web. Check out Dr. Elaine Ingham's work. It sounds like you're like 90% of there as far as those skills are concerned. You're going to have to learn, if you have a microbiology background or whatever the case may be, these things are going to translate better for you. I haven't had microbiology since college. So... a lot of these skills I've either forgotten or never really learned them properly. For you, it's going to be easier. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's a million-dollar idea. Or it could be, depending on how you use it. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that need consultants and people that can tell them what's going on. Because there's a lot of folks that do not want to put these chemicals out there. They don't want to support these chemical companies, Dow, Monsanto, you name it. Yeah. I'm going to lead you right back to that, and I think you got a winner, my man.
It's your turn.
So I got things.
If you want, I can go.
No, go ahead. I got this one.
Okay,
I'll go ahead. Hey, Billy, it's Andy. We met at the Farm Where You Live Festival. Hey, Andy. Let me just jump down here because there's a lot going on here. He's basically runs a lawn and garden business, and he tries not to use any kind of junk out there. And he says... okay. Also for Roundup, I'm in Lawrence, it's a little bit weird reading this thing. But my question is Roundup, if used in an area such as a driveway or parking lot, is there a potential damage here? I totally understand why it shouldn't be used anywhere, but I'm going to tell you, no, I wouldn't use that stuff.
Well, yeah, I would say yes, there is a potential damage, and no, I wouldn't use it
ever
because of the runoff. I mean, the overspray, the runoff.
You breathing that stuff in.
Yeah, you breathing, you handling that material. Yeah. I mean, there isn't a safe amount.
No.
Like, there isn't a safe amount of glyphosate.
No,
like,
there isn't. Yeah. There's not. And that stuff they have in there, I mean, there was just a lawsuit that was won against them for Roundup. I don't remember the whole detail, all the details on it. But I know that they lost a lawsuit concerning that stuff. If for no other reason, I mean, I guess a lot of people that were using that stuff are coming down with cancer.
Oh, I bet. I mean, it doesn't go away either.
I think Danny from Deep South was talking about there was somebody out there spraying under these power lines. And Danny was like, man, hey, you know what's going to kill them guys? You know, spraying that, being around that stuff all day. And then the guy responded to Danny something like, well, they're just a bunch of illegal Mexicans.
Man.
And then he was appalled. I don't know if Danny cussed him out or not. But the fact of it is, I mean, they're a human being.
They're still humans.
They're a human being.
Yeah.
And for you to even think, I mean, that is the kind of Malthusian garbage. You know what? That's exactly what they say about you.
Yeah.
You think about it, you think you're a step up from anybody else out there when you say that kind of garbage. But that's exactly what Bill Gates thinks of you. Bet you don't like that, so don't be saying it about other people.
Got one from Karen Hudson. And I also got one from Marina Staten, and they're both asking for a definition of a marchie. They're trying to look it up, but they can't find a definition of a marchie.
No, you're not going to find a definition.
And then Karen asks, does it describe a rainbow-haired, nose-ring, tattooed, militant, vegan, pansexual, non-binary, woke, virtue-signaling, protest-sign-wielding person who desperately needs to be defined themselves with as many adjectives as they can think of, except for the creation of God made in his image. That's the first adjective.
That's from
Karen Hudson.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, to top it off, they also have to be a Stoic.
Yeah.
They will have read Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. You know, the one Stoic that they have absolutely nothing in common with.
Yeah, and they'll smell them. You'll smell them walk up to you before you hear them.
Yeah, that's basically a marchie. It was basically the name of a guy that came out here one time. And I said, all right, son, what's your real name? Marchie. And I'm like, what? Marchie? I'm like, all right, Jack.
He's going to find out that his name's being used as his term.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I just went to this farm twice.
Yeah, but I think everybody knows, man, when I was talking to Ike at that butchery, you know, when he threw around Marchie, I about busted out because it just fits. Everybody knows. It's like Chaz, you know. If a guy's name is Chaz, you know you just want to punch him right in his eyeball.
Yeah.
So
I feel bad for the straight-headed Chaz out there that was alive before they created that community in Seattle or
Chuck,
Portland.
Man.
Yeah, man, you got to change your name.
Yep.
It's ruined forever.
Yeah, so we got one over here. He says he purchased a 16-ounce bone sauce, and, you know, he was looking at it. He says, I really expected it to smell. It has a little odor and extremely thick. You know, he says deer off is much more odor. Yeah. Because they're using things that it sounds off-putting to a human being. That's exactly what these people making this stuff expect you to think, that just because it smells awful, that it's going to offend the olfactories of a deer. It's not the way it works. Deer are very, very sensitive to certain things, bones, and the way that we treat them, and other materials they find absolutely repulsive. So it used to have a worse smell in the past. As I've refined it and made it more powerful, it's stronger, but it doesn't smell as awful. But it's way more powerful than it used to be. So, yeah, don't think for a moment that just because it smells awful, that's exactly what they're marketing to you.
Hey, y'all. Also, I wanted to address real quick. We keep getting comments saying on that one talking about the people driving out to the rural communities and stuff like that. We keep getting comments of people saying, yeah, that's how like Hispanics and stuff like that, or Middle Eastern people, that's how they would go get food out in the country or back where they lived or whatever. True, that's not wrong, but a Middle Eastern dude is not about to go broker some deal with a child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the difference in all of this.
We got people sending in videos from their cameras off their front porches.
Yes. They're not looking to make it's just something you wouldn't do in the Muslim culture. Having lived with them for a little bit, it's not something you would do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to go down that way.
Yeah.
And they have avenues and people that they would ordinarily go through. They're not going to go up there and just randomly talk to kids. And frankly, it wasn't just the Muslim folks. It was actually some other folks. Believe me, I got no problem with a lot of Muslims out there, man. I mean, I don't believe any of this garbage I've been told around them. Every Muslim I've ever known was actually a decent person. Very moral people that I've ever met. Except those ones who used to work at this convenience store back in Oklahoma City. But that's another story altogether. But outside of that, no, I'm not dogging these folks. There was other people claiming that they were Eastern European type.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's all over the board, but it seems like this has been the approach.
Also, take the stereotypes that they've probably heard about America. They ain't wandering into the country.
No.
They ain't going out there very rare. Like, if they are, they just haven't heard. But, like, there's Americans that don't wander out into the country looking for meat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I just wanted to clear that up before we ended the show.
Matthew says, I'm sure we've already answered this question, but can I use bone sauce and wooden stakes around my fence perimeter of my garden? I'm about to unleash a pimp slap on some groundhogs. Bam! Also, I love to listen to the pimp cast. Actually, he was asking for a pimp cast regarding owner financing. We're going to have to pull that one I'll go ahead and have to do
yeah,
something
let's
like
do that.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Because I think
that kind of ties into the class I'm doing too.
Yeah, maybe we ought to go ahead and cover that. We covered it before, but I'll go into greater detail in some of the methods we've already done. Okay, about these groundhogs, I'm not sure bone sauce works on groundhogs. In fact, my vote would be that it probably doesn't. It usually works on browsers. Now, the way we've dealt with groundhogs in the past, if you can't put a bullet in them, they like chewing gum. And once they eat some of that bubble yum, they can't get it out.
Well, also,
I mean, it's a gruesome way to go out, but man, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, hold on. Those voles and stuff, those are underground, and those haven't bothered any of the trees that the bone sauce has been on.
That's true. I mean, they've taken out some of the black locusts, but they haven't messed with any.
The black locusts didn't get bone sauce.
That's right.
So,
all the trees that we, we didn't put bone sauce on.
What we're wondering is happening is if like it's some of it is leaching into the ground whenever it rains and stopping them that way.
Got Ron over here. He says, I purchased your bone sauce, tried it around my gardens. Also have some bear problems where I live. Have you heard of anyone having success with your sauce against bears? And he's also wondering if it's going to have a problem with bees. I really don't know about the bees. We haven't put it anywhere near them. And regarding bears, I really don't know. Now, if I can get my hands on some bear bones, I'll bet a buffalo nickel because bears have some of the strongest senses of smell that there is in the animal kingdom. And I think if I can get my hand on some bear bones, I could probably come up, almost certainly come up. Right now, I don't know that it would.
Yeah.
But if I can get my hand on some bear bones.
As far as the bees, though, the bees still go and pollinate the trees that we've painted with bone sauce. They seem to be wholly, like, I can't.
Yeah, they're unaffected.
Unaffected. That's it.
We got somebody over here asking. Let's see here. It is from Angie. Y'all, when I read some of your emails, I got to kind of condense them. So don't, and also there's a lot of people sending emails and we're not getting them. We're going to work on a new, once we get 2 minutes to rub together, we got to get a new email server, one where it's not run by woke people.
So speaking of that, the second place winner of the knife giveaway.
Yeah.
He sent me the email twice. He had to send me, I think he sent me the email twice. I don't know, but I tried to go back to find like where his address, his email, or his like physical address is to mail it. Long story short, it was not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, we've
and
had
it was
some...
no fault of his own or anything like that. It just everything kept moving on me.
Yeah, weird things are happening with our emails and stuff like that, especially things that are of any import. So, folks, if I'm not getting back to you, it's because I didn't see it. It's just not being made known to me. I don't know what's going on. Some of them get through. Some of them don't. We talked in one of the earlier podcasts about how I sent out 3 emails to different solar generator companies.
Yep.
Every last one of them could not be delivered no matter which email. I got, 3 emails? No, 2 emails and 3 different companies, and not one of them could be delivered to the companies I've sent them to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're playing games out there, y'all. It is what it is. Also, we got one. We got Angie asking if she and her husband can come visit. I'm afraid not. We're maybe in the future. We're hoping to maybe do some sort of open house or something like that. Can't really swing it right now. We are going in so many different directions. We just can't make it happen. I know there were some other questions out there. Hopefully we'll get them into the next podcast. We got to get bouncing, y'all. We got so many more things to do, and I still got to work out because I'm doing that 75 hard, y'all. Remember, think about compost, grass, trees. Learn to make compost. Talk to everybody you see. Until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.